right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, February 5th of 2025. And looking ahead here, we have a 9-game NBA main slate tonight. We have a 3-game NHL slate. And then we have golf teeing off early tomorrow morning. So most likely, most people are doing their golf builds at some point today. So it should be a fun day of DFS. Those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel and our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So you can tune in any one of those days, get your questions answered. Small note here, we're going to have no show after Thursday, so we'll have office hours today, office hours Thursday, and then we will not have another office hours until Tuesday. I'll be out Friday to Monday, so just want to let you guys know about that. All right, let's get SaberSim up. Let's start answering some questions. First question, if I go 4 min uniques for my build when doing late swap for NBA for the first lock, is it better to keep min uniques at 4 or better to drop it some, and what about each time lock after that going forward? Okay, good question here. Appreciate Sean linking me discussing this in the past, but always okay to answer a question again and go over it as many times as needed. So when you go from pre-build to late swap, in general, I think it's fine to keep it at the same number, especially if there hasn't been like a bunch of news or anything like that. So in general, your min unique should carry over nicely. Now, the optimal answer here is to basically start the process over. And what process are we talking about, right? We're effectively talking about the process of changing your uniques and seeing how your metrics change, right? So I'm going to go set up a contest sim, and then I'm going to come back to my build, and then I'm going to run it. And let's run this sim. All right. Going to move some columns around while that runs. All right. Contest sim is done. So then I can come in, change my sorting metric. I can go get an average projection aggregate metric. All right. So starting over a little bit, you know, let's say like I'm in the pre-build, right? I use like 4 uniques, something like that. This number, since it's already kind of in your lineups, right? Like your lineups are going to start locking, players are going to get, you know, stuck in those positions. And as the slate goes on, you're effectively locking in diversification, right? So it should make it fairly easy to get to the same number as the night goes on. Now, where you want to be careful, right, is not just setting it and forgetting it. Because what if like some value opens up later in the slate, right? Well, what can happen is you could actually, you know, kind of be blocking yourself from higher uniques. Cause like, let's say, you know, Jokic gets ruled out last game of the night and, you know, we're like halfway through the slate, right? Well, if he got ruled out, you know, before the slate, he'd probably be like, the other Denver players would probably be even more owned than they're going to be, right? That is kind of the edge from late swap. So what I recommend is, you know, when you're in late swap, you're in autofill, right? What you could do is just do the min unique process over again. And that process here is effectively changing or starting your uniques at 1. You would effectively apply or save these. Once you apply / save in late swap, your metrics are going to get filled out and it will tell you, okay, your average projection is this, your average ROI is this. Okay, then change the unique and then save again or apply again, and then your metrics are going to update, right? And then just keep doing this until your metrics fall off again, right? This is like, this is the optimal answer is redo it every time. And this process takes like seconds. It's changing uniques, applying, checking, changing uniques, applying, checking. I could go from, you know, 1 to 5 uniques and verify it in 10 to 15 seconds, right? That is actually what you should do. So, you know, it should be good. It should probably be okay to go same number pre, same number post. But if you want to play, you know, optimal strategy, reset uniques to 1 and then start increasing it again until you see your metrics drop off, and then stick with whatever that number ends up being. All right, good question there. Next question. Hey, Andrew, I was watching your build review show for Monday. You had done a showdown for someone as well as classic basketball slate. During both, you had mentioned that if the ownership for their contests was using SaberSim ownership instead of the individual buckets, that this means they uploaded their entry file before Sims had run and they would want to re-upload the entry file after Sims had run. So far, for any showdown I have ever done across any sport, that ownership has always just shown SaberSim ownership, regardless of when I uploaded my entry file. Well, any classic slate has always shown which bucket you are using, like you had mentioned. Last night I tested it, and while doing a showdown for hockey, I re-uploaded my file after the final Sims had ran and built just a few minutes before lock. However, I still only had the option for SaberSim ownership. To clarify, is that just how showdowns work, or am I experiencing a bug of some kind? Okay, so you're definitely not experiencing a bug, and I apologize if I created any confusion out there. The thing is that we don't have bucket ownership for every sport, and Henry mentioned this, appreciate that. So if like we go to a NBA showdown for tonight, right? And then we go to, say, the Spurs in Atlanta. You're going to see buckets here, right? Flagship, low stakes, and we can go into a build and we can see it as well. So I go into my own, and I can see that there's buckets, right? So for NBA Showdown, if you're seeing SaberSim, looks like there's a single showdown tonight with the Kings. If I go into the build. So there is no bucket for NHL, right? So for NHL showdown, you're going to see something different than if you're using NBA showdown. And then, you know, for golf, we have buckets, right? If we go look at golf for tomorrow. Here we go. All right, golf loading now. And then golf, we have buckets, right? Well, if I go to like MMA, oh, we don't have projections up yet, but we can go last week first. Oh, we do have buckets for MMA. I thought we didn't. Maybe this is new. But basically, my point is that we don't have buckets for every sport. We do have buckets for a lot of sports. So it's going to depend, right? But if you're seeing SaberSim ownership in your field lineups, the easiest way to probably tell is just to come into the My Own. Once projections, ownership projections are updated, right? So if these are all zeros, then it's probably too early. But if there are values in the My Own column, the easiest way to tell if you should have buckets in your field lineups is to just come into My Own and click the gear icon and then see if there are buckets in the SaberSim ownership option. If there's only one single SaberSim ownership option, then you shouldn't expect to see any buckets. So that's always going to be the best way of checking. All right, let's go back to today. And keep it in rolling. Can you do a walkthrough in office hours today of how you would fill multiple contests with multiple different geomines for each contest using either direct fill or autofill? Yeah, so this one is, you know, a little tough, unfortunately. Basically, you know, like let's say you're building for like the Super Bowl and, you know, you're playing like a bunch of different contests, et cetera, right? There isn't a good way to have like some type of dynamic geomine. Because remember, the geomean is going based off of an input is the number of entries in the contest, right? Well, you know, you might be playing, you know, a number of different contests, right? And if one has 294,000 and one has 750, you know, that those are obviously massively different and you want to take different approaches, right? So the best way to do it, in my opinion, would probably be to do it in direct fill and do one contest at a time. So what you're going to do, right, is you're going to open up your calculator, you're going to solve your geometric mean formula, and then you're going to get different numbers for different contests, right? So what I would probably do is just like go into the contest tab and then just like solve all the geomeans and just write them down. Like, okay, you know, we're using geomean 24 for the large field million, then maybe we're using a geomean of like 27 for the small field, right? And then we'll just assume that we have, you know, those two contests in play, right? Okay, I have my geometric mean custom metric. So then now I can filter for it, right? And then I would go into my filters. I would create one that says show lineups with geomean less than, and then I can do 27, right? And then I turn this one on. I fill my entries for the one that had 27. Okay, and then I go and then I update this, and then I do 24 for the next one, right? So the only other thing that you need to do is like just be clicking the contest that you're primarily working on. That way the sorting metric can update. If you're using ROI, you want to use that specific contest's ROI. So then I would just be updating the contest I'm viewing using target ROI and then updating my filter as I go, right? So updating the filters is going to be how you do contest specific. Now, if you don't there's a couple different ways to do this, right? So one, you could take your biggest geomean and just use that for all your contests to have like a trickle down effect. At least, you know, you're optimizing for lineups to be more unique in your biggest contest. Another thing I've experimented with is just filtering out the bottom 10 to 20% of geomean lineups. And it's actually the highest, right? So you want to take out the highest geomean lineups because the higher the geometric mean, the more likely the lineup is to be duplicated. So then I wouldn't even solve the formula, right? I would just come in here and say, okay, show me lineups with geomean less than X. And then I would be watching, you know, if you drag this lineup pane to the left, the pool save trash become visible. The other way is clicking this drop down, but I found dragging it out and doing your filters works a little bit better because you can just see it update. Rather, it'll save you like a click or two. So then updating your geomean number until you have about 10 to 20% of your lineups in the trash is another way to do it, right? So the three ways we've gone over: contest specific approach, solving it for each contest, using direct fill and filling one contest at a time. Number two would be using your biggest contest and having like a trickle down effect for all your smaller contests. And then number three would be just taking a blanket approach of filtering out the highest 10 to 20% geomean lineups and then just using the remaining lineups as your effective pool. So those are what I would be considering doing. All right, good stuff there. Next question. Do you use rank or unique rank for your lineup builds? Okay, so I personally use rank, but there are differences in my viewpoint if you're using Saber Score. So this is the way I describe it. I think if you're using ROI, I think it's fine to use rank. And the reason for that is just because you're using rank doesn't guarantee the same lineups are going to be used, because each ROI for each contest is effectively a different sorting metric. Okay. So the ROIs can change between the contests. So just because you're using rank doesn't guarantee you're going to get the same lineups in multiple contests. It means you can. And if a lineup grades out well in more than one contest, I'm okay playing it in both. Now, if you're using Saber Score, right? Say you're playing, you know, 220 maxes, 320 maxes, and all of the 20 maxes are falling within the same entry range, right? They're both or all three are in the 10K to 50K range. This is the same sorting metric for all three contests now. You're going to get the same 20 lineups in all three contests. In that case, when you're using Saber Score, I would recommend using Unique Rank, just because I think the overlap of lineups is going to be higher, just because Saber Score casts a wider net as to which contests fall within a specific Saber Score, where contest sims are different every single time, different number of entries, could be different field lineups, could be different payout structures, right? All of that matters, and all of that is going to lead to different lineups doing well. So if you're using contest sims, I think rank is cool. If you're using Saber Score, I would stick with Unique Rank. All right, good stuff so far. Next question, what lobbies are the best for players on DraftKings to play in? For example, can they join a 10 cent 400 prize pool lobby? Okay, so the most winningest players on DraftKings, there's guidelines for these, and they differ between DraftKings and FanDuel, okay? I believe on DraftKings, if you need to have $1 million or more in, I think, just gross winnings, and then you cannot see contests, there's two thresholds. Number one is contests under $3. You cannot see any contests under $3 if you're one of these players above that threshold. The other one is you cannot see contests under $5. So this would be $3 to $5 unless the prize pool is $25,000 or more. So like the $3 20 max, everybody in the lobby can see that because the prize pool is typically bigger than $25,000. So you're going to see, you know, no sharks under $3. You might see some in the $3 to $5 range. It's technically $3 to $4.99. If the contest is $5, then they can see it, right? It's like a $5 single entry. Those are the guidelines on DraftKings. That's why we always say, you know, ground up approach. You want to play contests without those players in them, right? So if you start from 10 cent and up, they're not going to be in those at all. And then on FanDuel, the guidelines are, I believe it's, you have to have 50,000 in net earnings. So if you have 50,000 in net earnings, you're not going to see contests under $3. But if you if you do have earnings over 50K, then you won't see those contests. So differs slightly between the sites, but that's my understanding. Yahoo and Owner's Box do not have those guidelines. I'm pretty sure Owner's Box doesn't have any. Yahoo does have something. I forget what it is, but it's something around like their veteran or like super veteran, where I think you can't play like certain single entries or something like that. I forget what the guidelines are for Yahoo, but there are some, and you could probably look them up on their website. All right. Good stuff so far. Let's jump back to office hours, make sure we're all caught up there. And we are caught up here in the YouTube chat. Cool. So why don't we do a demo for the Super Bowl, you know, coming up fast here. And I'm just going to open up a new build. So if I was building lineups for the Super Bowl, first I would build as many lineups as my plan allows. I like to lower min salary, just open it up a little bit here, right? And then as far as any no filters or rules, you know, leaving SaberSim to its own devices here, making two small adjustments to projections, I would just go to the 0.01, 21.34, and then I would kick this off, right? Don't need to do a bunch else here. If you're using geometric mean, however, what I would recommend is standardizing the lowest ownerships. Okay. So like, let's say we put on a filter to not see players with projection less that is zero, right? So let me just get rid of all these other players, and then I can even hide them if I want, right? Doesn't matter. So geo mean is multiplying ownerships together, right? Well, these players with zero, it's going to mess up the calculation a bit here. So what I recommend doing is coming in here and then just standardizing these, right? So I typically use two for flexes and then one for captains. Now more than ever in DFS, you see players playing more of these low owned plays. People refer to them as punt plays, where it's like, you're not really expecting this guy to do good. You don't have like high hopes for it, but you're kind of just taking a shot on them and hoping it works out. And that's what like people refer to as a punt play. But if you standardize these, right, the interesting thing is that you can actually only benefit from it because your geo mean calculation is actually expecting the lineup to be more likely to be owned than it is. So if we're increasing ownership and then the player comes in less, well, there's actually a better chance the lineup is less duplicated than we anticipated. Okay. So if you're using geo mean, I would standardize these. You could even do it after the build because that's the build. The geo mean is looking at the my own column and doing it. It doesn't have to be done beforehand. The only time it needs to be done beforehand is if you're using it as a rule, because rules get applied in the lineup building process. Okay. So that's my spiel here on geo mean. Now, you know, you can run your contest sim. You can use single game saber score. These are going to be your two primary sorting metrics. Okay. And then what I recommend, right, is if you're using contest sims, I typically use two filters. And one would be ROI greater than zero. And then the other one would be a geo mean filter, right? So I talked about this as one of the options. And one of the options for me for using geo mean is just using a blanket one and then just trying to get rid of the highest 10 to 20% of geo mean lineups. So like I turned it on, whatever number this is at, it's getting rid of about 30%. Okay, so I would actually lower it, right? Or I would raise the geo mean, because that will lower the number of lineups in my trash. And here I'm at 25.5 geo mean. I'm just under 20%. This would be perfect for me. And then I would effectively turn that one off. And then I would go and I would turn on an ownership one. I mean, an ROI one, right? And then once the ROI one's on, I could turn them on together. And then now I'm left with 130 lineups in my pool. I'm going to be pulling my lineups from these 130, right? And then from here, this probably a good opportunity to answer this next question. Do you personally change any projections or exposures? I'm not a big exposure guy. You know, I'm pretty comfortable rolling with the exposures I see. I do change projections. This is also part of the reason I don't adjust exposures, is because my goal is to add value by doing research and giving SaberSim better inputs. We're like, hey, I think this guy should be projected for one more point. I think this guy should be projected for one less point. And then allowing SaberSim to analyze my new quote unquote, you know, better adjustments, right? I wouldn't do it if I didn't think it was, if I didn't think I was adding value in some way. And then allowing it to decide what are the best leverage or exposures to have based on those inputs. Sometimes I update something and I get the same exposure or still no exposure, right? Those times suck, right? I'm like trying to add value and the builder's like, nope, still don't like this play. But sometimes, you know, I do end up getting more projection for those players. So I will say, you know, I'm more on the exposure adjustment side. One thing I will be careful of, and I would caution you guys too, is if you're adjusting projections and then you're getting just a ton of exposure to the guys you adjusted, I would be a little bit careful, right? Because what if you're wrong? You know, none of the adjustments I make are, you know, 100%, right? I'm usually like somewhere in like 60 to 75% accuracy based on my own, you know, subjective analysis of how I'm doing, right? And I try and be as objective as possible, but you know, I usually like fall in that range. Well, I'm still wrong, you know, 4 out of 10 times, 3 out of 10 times, right? So if I'm just getting to like a ton of the guys I adjusted, I will usually use a higher number of min uniques to try and offset that a little bit, even if I end up sacrificing some projection, because the projection is a little inflated because I boosted it, right? So if I got to sacrifice some projection, if I got to sacrifice some ROI to do some risk management to even the plays I adjusted, I think that's totally fine. So those are my opinions. So maybe I do indirectly adjust exposures, but I'm not really in there like setting minimums. If anything, I'd probably be setting maximums rather than minimums. Just more risk management style. All right. Getting back to the demo, you know, now that we have our filters on, now that we have our, you know, number of lineups we want to use, now you want to come in here and, you know, check out these leverages, check out these exposures, see if you're comfortable with these, see if there's, you know, anything you want to change. All this looks pretty flat. The only high leverage player I see is like Samaje Perine. And then we're getting to pretty high, like negative on Hollywood Brown. But other than that, you know, pretty flat here, and I'd be happy with just taking the top 20 lineups here. You could adjust uniques. You know, you could make some manual tweaks. It's totally up to you. But, you know, leverages are flat, and I'm pretty happy with what I'm seeing. So I would roll with this. All right. Looks like we're still all caught up here in both the YouTube chat and Discord. We just knocked out a Super Bowl build demo. So I think we're all set. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our last office hours show of the week. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.